Hey, Smutters.
Hey, y'all. What's happening?
There it is.
What?
You.
So how was your day?
It was good. I found the best mug in the whole wide world.
This mug right here?
Yes, your mug. But I also found a coffee mug that I posted, if y'all want to see it. It says, number one podcast.
Totally. A Michael Scott moment.
Oh, it is. I posted that picture next to it. It says, I bought it myself.
You need to find a couple extra to put in the desk drawer just in case that one breaks like he did.
I know. I could not believe I found that. As soon as I saw it, I was like, "This, I got to get it." And I sent you a picture and you're like, buy it now.
Yeah. Today, for me, was like kind of boring. But don't get me wrong when I say boring. It was so nice. I didn't have to worry about doing anything or going anywhere, just doing what I wanted to do. And it actually allowed me to go down several rabbit holes today.
Wow, what rabbit holes?
God, from aliens to musical portals to, I mean, everything.
Okay, tell us about
them. Presidential stuff, politics to... what was that last one I was watching? It was An Entrance to Eden. the portal where you, certain sound frequencies opened a portal in the dude's bedroom.
Remember? Oh, yeah. That was really cool.
Yeah. I mean, just everything. But today was good. It was just, when I say boring, it's not in a negative type of way. It was.
It's a nice, lazy day.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to get a lot done. I did not. I didn't do much of anything today, honestly.
No, not really.
Now,
I woke up and went shopping.
Yeah, and then I learned about the hamster drinking water trend.
Oh, my God.
How was that? Troy was watching something, and it was like this lady. She was like, I'm going to do the hamster drinking water trend. And I was like, and our daughter was in here. Okay, y'all. I was like, what's that? And Troy's like, stop it. And I didn't know what it was. And I asked our daughter, I was like, what's the hamster drinking water trend? And she's like, I don't know.
Lord have mercy.
So then like Troy texted on his phone and showed it to me. And I was like, oh my God. So our daughter, Ashlyn, she runs upstairs. She comes back down a little while later. She goes, so I looked up the hamster drinking water trend.
Awful. God awful.
I was like, oh my God.
Where do people come up with these trends at?
I don't know.
That's dirty.
But like, I thought it would be something cute. Like a little, dadgummit, how do you do this?
What? Oh, I can do it.
I just washed the comforter and you've already got stuff on it.
I didn't do it.
Okay. But yeah, I don't know where they come up with these trends. I thought it would be something super cute. And y'all, it's not. If y'all don't know what it is, y'all can look it up.
Dirty.
Yeah, it's a dirty little
hamster.
Dirty little hamster. There was something else.
We watched a lot of South Park today.
We watched Priscilla last night.
Yeah, that was decent.
I liked it. I loved it. Oh. We gave Riggins a toy, y'all.
Now he's playing with it.
That was such a good day yesterday. We had like a day for the dogs, and Troy went to PetSmart and got them a bunch of little toys, and then I went to the store and I got stuff to make pup cups, and we got home and so excited and gave the dogs their toys. They were more into the pup cups, I think.
Yeah, of course.
But they had such a good day yesterday, and Riggins has kind of been carrying his baby around and, you know, just laying in with it and stuff. I'm surprised it hasn't been torn up yet. But as soon as
that's
we start...
the reason I got it, though, because it's one of those Kong ones.
Yeah.
It's, like, hard to destroy.
So. Yeah. So, like, as soon as we start recording, I'm sure y'all just heard him start squeaking. So, he,
Riggins,
I guess...
Not me.
Not you. I'm thinking Riggins wants y'all to know he got a new baby this weekend. So there's that. Tonight's episode makes me laugh.
What's it about?
Okay, there's a backstory behind it, okay?
Did you say back shot?
What?
Huh?
Money shot?
What?
What? Anyway, there is a backstory behind it. I was listening to a podcast the other day, and they mentioned it, and all these memories came flooding back. They said the Wampus Cat. Have you ever heard of the Wampus Cat? Mm-mm. Okay. So when I was little, I hate the word stepmom because it just sounds, it doesn't, it, you think of stepmom and you think evil stepmom, right?
Well, I mean, I guess.
I mean, that's kind of what you think of. So I'm not going to say stepmom. I'm going to say mom number two, mom squared, my other mother. My mom squared, she would mention the Wampus Cat and start laughing. And I was always like, what's that, you know? And she just kind of laughed and never really told me. And the older I got, she told me. And I understood why she laughed. Now, the Wampus Cat is a cryptid. And apparently, the way I was told is it's a really mean cat with no butthole.
Wouldn't you be ornery too?
Exactly. And so
what was it from Waterboy? The reason alligators are so ornery.
Oh my god, I cannot believe you said that, because at work I walked in one morning and I cannot believe you said that. This girl that I work with was sitting there and she goes, Mama says the reason alligators are so ornery is because they got so many teeth and not a toothbrush to brush them. And I was like, I was dying. Wow. And the fact that you just said that is so random. That is so funny. But it made me laugh. But yes, so I was like, we should do the Wampus Cat. And I started looking it up, and that's not exactly what it is. He does have a butthole. But when I started looking on Reddit for like encounters and stuff, somebody put, my grandpa told me that the Wampus Cat has glowing eyes and no butthole. And so that's a thing somewhere. I don't know where it came from. And I text my sister this week and I was like, you know, has Mom Squared ever told you about the Wampus Cat? And she's like, it seems like I remember it. And I was like, ask her about it just to double check. And she texts me back and she goes, Mom said it was a cat that had no butthole and it was really mean. And we laughed about that. And I was like, okay, I just wanted to double check and make sure this was not something I was making up. You know, just, you know, one of those things you just thought happened. It happened. So I just want to say, Mom Squared, this episode is for you. We're going to do the Wampus Cat. Okay, and we love you so much. So, let's dive on in.
Dive on in.
Dive on in. So, if you haven't heard of the Wampus Cat before, you're missing out on one of the more enigmatic cryptids out there. The legendary creature has roots in American folklore, and particularly the Appalachian region. Described as a fearsome hybrid of a mountain lion and a woman, believers say the Wampus Cat roams the wilderness emitting eerie sounds that strike terror into the hearts of those who cross its path.
Boom, boom,
boom. Boom, boom, boom. Now, throughout the Appalachian region, the Wampus Cat is known by different names, from Golly Wampus to Whistling Wampus, and is rumored to appear at twilight or dawn. In Appalachian folklore, the mythical beast is often portrayed as the cat-like embodiment of a cursed woman who is punished for her disobedience or involvement in witchcraft.
Ooh.
Other interpretations suggest that the concept of the Wampus Cat was influenced by European mythology, specifically the idea of witches or women with shape-shifting abilities. And these images or influences may have merged with local Appalachian folklore over time. Now, some historic accounts also lend weight to the existence of the Wampus Cat. The Greenville Sun reported on December 17, 1918, a wampus is reportedly roaming the big ridge in the vicinity of Jessamine. The newspaper went on to say that sightings and rumors of the Wampus Cat have persisted for generations, further fueling the intrigue and tall tales surrounding the beast. Years later, the creature made headlines again when it was blamed for a string of livestock deaths. Newspapers reported that the elusive monster had consumed dogs, pigs, and other animals in the Norfolk area. They speculated that the wampus might belong to a species long believed to be extinct. While the papers of yore published a few reports of the wampus cat killing livestock, there's still no tangible proof of the cryptid's existence. Now, eyewitnesses describe the wampus cat as a large and fearsome creature with a bobcat's face, often portrayed as a cross between a cat and a human, with sharp, elongated claws and fangs. Its most distinctive feature is its glowing yellow eyes that supposedly pierce through the darkness of the night as it roams the Appalachian Mountains.
Ooh.
I know. Eyewitnesses have reported seeing a creature with a muscular feline body covered in dark, matted fur, accompanied by a long, sinuous tail that aids in its balance and agility. And some asserted that the creature has six legs and is more of half-cat, half-dog hybrid. Sightings of the creature have been more sporadic, typically occurring deep within dense forests or in remote areas. And witnesses describe feelings of unease and an overwhelming sense of being watched when encountering the creature. Ooh. So, I also heard that since it does have the six legs, it's bipedal, like it walks on two legs. It doesn't walk on, like, all six legs. That'd be kind of weird, right? Like a little centipede-looking thing, you know?
Yeah,
that
would be weird.
Okay, so the wampus cat allegedly has several supernatural abilities. Ooh. And one of the most notable being its ability to emit spine-chilling screams. These vocalizations are believed to be a method of attracting prey or warding off potential threats. The half-cat creature is also thought to possess exceptional speed, agility, and stealth, allowing it to navigate through the dense forest and remain undetected. Legend suggests that it can shapeshift or become invisible, making it even more challenging to track or capture.
Maybe it made its butthole invisible.
That's what it is. That's why you can't see its butthole.
Figured it out.
Yes. So, invisible butthole for the wampus cat. These extraordinary abilities have both fascinated and frightened those who have delved into the beast mythology. Now, the enigmatic creature has not only woven itself into a rich tapestry of folklore, but has also left its mark on popular culture. You can read about its haunting presence in Cormac McCarthy's novel, The Orchard Keeper, while its formidable image pops up in fantasy role-playing games like Dungeons & Dragons. And within the Harry Potter universe, where magic wands contain cores made of enchanted substances, wampus hair makes an appearance as a core material. The wampus is also one of four houses of the Ilvermorny School of Witchcraft. I don't know. And wizardry in North America. Now, so if you get like a magic wand with wampus hair in it as the core, does that mean you're like an angry person?
Yep.
Because you can't poop?
Yep.
Okay.
You would eventually just explode.
Yes. So I'd be kind of angry about that too. So that's a little bit of the background. Now we're going to kind of go over the origin story, the mythology of where the wampus cat came. And it's got two origin stories, and the second one is my favorite, but we'll start with this one first.
Okay.
The legend begins. There are several origin stories regarding this feline cryptid, and according to one Cherokee legend, the wampus cat was once a beautiful woman. Her husband would often leave their village to go hunting for food with the other men in their tribe. And the men would conduct sacred rituals before the hunt, asking forgiveness from the animals that would give their lives to feed the villagers. The woman was very curious and wanted to witness these rites and magics for herself. However, their custom forbade women from taking part in the rituals. One night, curiosity got the best of her, and she secretly followed her husband and his group of hunters. What are we
like? Curiosity got the cat.
Oh, curiosity killed the cat. Wait, oh my God. What is that we used to say? Scratch a cat. Remember?
Wow.
Okay. Anyway, curiosity got the best of her, and she secretly followed her husband and his group of hunters into the forest, wrapped in a cougar skin to camouflage herself.
I bet she's a cougar skin.
Really? We're going there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, she came to a clearing in the forest where the men had gathered. Hiding behind a rock, she finally bore witness to the ritual she sought so long to see. She crept closer and closer, wanting more detail. But the medicine man leading the ritual spotted her. The hunters then pulled her into the circle, and the medicine man placed a curse on her. This magic bound the cougar skin she was wearing into her own, and her body changed into some kind of human-cougar hybrid beast. This curse doomed her to roam the Appalachian mountains and valleys forever alone. As the story goes, whenever you hear a lonely scream at night, whenever something is missing or destroyed from houses in the hills, the mountain people know that the Wampus Cat is the one on the prowl, angered at her eternal sentence of solitude, never able to rejoin the human race.
Aww.
It's kind of sad, right? Maybe.
But if she gets so damn nosy.
Right? Maybe don't be nosy and follow the rules. Okay. This other story, I really like. So, where was I?
Sorry, I'm still recovering from sickness.
Sickness. A half-dog, half-cat creature that can erect on all fours. It's rumored to be seen just erect. Is that what we're laughing at? So dirty. It's rumored to be seen just after dark or right before dawn, all throughout the Appalachians. But that's about all everyone agrees on. In non-Native American cultures, it's a howling, evil creature with yellow eyes that can supposedly pierce the hearts and souls of those unfortunate enough to cross its path, driving them to the edge of sanity. Cherokee folklore, which is filled with tales of evil spirits lurking in the deep, dark forests that surround their villages, offers a different view of the Wampus Cat. An evil demon called Ewol, the spirit of madness, had been terrorizing the village of Etowah, or Choctaw, depending on the version you hear, in what is today North Carolina. The village shamans and war chiefs called for a meeting. The wise shamans told the war chiefs that sending the braves to hunt and kill the Ewol was surely going to be the end of the tribe, for the Ewol had the terrible power to drive men mad with just a glance. The war chiefs argued that the Ewol could no longer feast on the dreams of the Cherokee children, and that something must be done. Together, they agreed that their strongest brave would go alone and bring great honor to his family and tribe by killing the mad demon. Standing Bear, or Great Fellow, depending on the story version, was the strongest, the fastest, the sneakiest, and smartest, and he was above all the most respected brave in all the Cherokee Nation, and he was chosen to do battle with the demon. As he walked from his village, the shamans blessed him, and the war chiefs gave him many fine weapons which to slay the beast, and on the edge of town, his wife, Running Deer, bid him a final farewell. She would never see him in the same way again. Weeks went by, and there was no word from Standing Bear. And suddenly, late one night, the stricken brave came running back into the camp, screaming and clawing at his eyes. One look, and Running Deer already knew. Her husband was no more. With Tom, he would be able to pick berries and work in the fields with the young girls and the unmarried widows, but he would never be any good as a husband again, and by Cherokee law, that meant he was dead. Standing Bear's name was never given or was never again mentioned, but Running Deer had loved her husband, and she wanted revenge. Running Deer went to the shamans, and they gave her a booger mask, a bobcat's face, and they told her that the spirit of the mountain cat could stand against the Ewol, but she must be the one to surprise the deer. Why did they not give him that?
Right.
I hate that. Okay. But she must be the one to surprise the demon. The war chiefs gave her a special black paste, which, when rubbed on her body, would hide her scent as well as her body. She kissed her former husband on the forehead, and his blank eyes staring, and headed off to seek her revenge. Running Deer knew the woods as well as she knew the village, and she ate sweet berries to keep up her strength over the many days. But still, she came across no sign of the Ewol. And then late one night, she heard a creature stalking down by the stream. As she crept slowly towards the creek, she heard a twig snap behind her. She spun, and just as suddenly realized how quickly it could have been the end for her. Behind her, a wily fox darted across the pathway. If that had been Ewol, I would be mad now, the widowed Cherokee woman thought to herself as she continued towards the creek. At the edge of the creek, she saw footprints which did not belong there, and her former husband's breastplate lay at the edge of the water. As she followed the prints upstream, she saw the demon. Its hulking form lurched hideously over the water, drinking from the pristine mountain spring. The Ewol hadn't seen her. Running Deer crept even closer, and just as she felt she could bring herself no closer, she sprang. The Ewol spun and saw the cat's spirit mask and began to tear at itself as the spirit of the mountain cat turned its powerful magic back on itself. The Ewol tumbled backwards into the pool, and Running Deer immediately turned on her heel and ran as fast as she could back to the village, never once looking back. When she arrived home, she sang a song to herself, a quiet song of grief for her husband, but also of joy for the demon's banishment. The shamans and war chiefs declared Running Deer the spirit talker and home protector. Some say the spirit of Running Deer inhabits the Wampus Cat, and that she continues her eternal mission of watching her tribe's lands to protect them and their peoples from the demons that hide in the dark and lost places of Tanasi. And I love that story. She's trying to, like, help her husband out and all that, and it's such a great story.
She could have went to begin with.
I mean, they could have given him the right tools to begin with, honestly. So there's that. So that is the Wampus Cat, you guys. Now, I did find an account, kind of. There's just not a lot because it goes invisible when you almost see it, right?
Right. Especially its butthole.
Especially its butthole. So this is called the Wampus Cat of North Carolina. This is my very first post, so please forgive me if it contains errors. A little backstory. I am a mentally well, moderately successful young wife and mother in the deep south on the edge of the coast and have been in this beach town my whole life. You get a few miles west from the beach and you're immediately in the country. My mother's side have lived there as far back as memory serves, and my father is a Sioux whose mother moved him here as a child away from the res. I guess that's
reservation.
The reservation, yeah. Since I can remember, my mother's side of the family has had run-ins with the Wampus Cat. Legends vary depending on where you are, but commonly around here, it's said she was a Cherokee woman who snuck into the woods to listen in on the males-only meeting that included the chief and their medicine man. Not sure if it's the correct term for this tribe. She wore the skin of a cougar as a disguise, but she was found out, and the medicine man cursed her to forever wear the cougar skin. And she now stalks people. For what reason? I don't know, but it follows me, and it follows my family, and it always has. We've gotten so used to the Wampus Cat, we just expect her when we move to a new house, or the seasons are changing, or if we find ourselves in a moment of emotional weakness. When my mother had a rough day being bullied in middle school back in the 80s, she was crying and riding her bike home down a country dirt road. The sun is setting, but it's not dark out yet. And behind her, she hears this shriek. I've heard it before, and it sounds like when an eagle screams, but with that gurgling gutturalness of a cougar's roar. So she turns around and sees a huge creature, dark matted fur in a stance like a gorilla stands in when it walks on its knuckles. Back legs crouched a bit and its chest and head up, supported by the arms on the knuckles. She turns around and races on her bike all the way home. She told her mom what she saw, and she calmly says, "That's a Wampus Cat. They've never hurt us. They just like to spook you." And that was that. I'm going to stop right there because they mentioned eagle. Now, I saw several places. Do you know what they like to eat?
What?
Eagles.
How?
I don't know. And it just, I thought it was just kind of strange because a Wampus Cat trying to catch an eagle, I just figured they could just fly off or something and they couldn't catch them. But I guess since they're invisible, they can. So I just figured I'd throw that in. So I grew up with a Native father, superstitious as all hell, and practically jumping under the bed to hide when we heard the Wampus Cat scream in the backyard some nights, while my mom and grandmother just kind of acknowledge, "Oh, it's the cat again." And I've gone my whole life with this as a completely normal thing. Even when I got married and my husband was out by the woods with me, we'd hear that scream and see the leaves on the forest floor kick up as it stalked us, never coming too close, and have to realize that two people who didn't grow up in my hometown, this was a terrifying experience. To me, it's like when you occasionally see a cardinal in the trees. A bit different than the day-to-day, but nothing life-changing. My closest encounter was one night in high school. My friend and I, and her boyfriend, were sitting on the front porch enjoying the nighttime salt air and the lightning bugs. A huge, gorilla-sized, extremely hairy animal runs up to the front porch and screams like hell's open now. Now I'm semi-used to the critter, but I don't want it 5 feet from me. We go to her bedroom and for about an hour hear it stalking back and forth under her window, about 10 feet down. Coastal towns have raised houses on stilts in case of hurricanes. Growling, spitting, screaming, rolling around in the foliage, just being pesky and grumpy. Finally, it wanders off, and all is quiet, and we fall asleep. Every once in a while, I'll still hear it. It's just life here. This town is extremely haunted, and I've grown up a few miles from the Fort Fisher battleground and many historic and tragic places. I have too many unnatural encounters with all sorts of things to put in one post, but that's it. This is really long, jumbled, confusing, and probably a bit boring compared to other posts, but it's my experience with a not-so-talked-about creature that is just part of life to me. I hope y'all learned something, and don't go out too late in coastal North Carolina if you're easily scared. Somebody said get a laser pointer. But yeah, that is the Wampus Cat, and I really, you know, it's not super scary. It's a cryptid that I don't think many people know about, and that's its story.
Yeah, I didn't know anything about it till just now, like when you were talking about it.
Well, I always thought it was my it was something M Squared made up, you know? It was, like, I didn't think she made it up because I figured it was something she heard of as a kid or whatever, like, that her family joked about.
I've heard that name before, but never.
Well, also, you hear, like, older people talk about cattywampus. You're walking cattywampus or something, you know? Have you heard that? Mm-hmm. Oh. What is the deal? What was my life growing up?
I'm a lot younger than you, though.
You are not.
I'm, like, 15 years younger than you. That's why I laugh every time cougar's mentioned.
Okay.
Okay. cougar.
Cougar.
Rob the cradle with me.
Oh, no. I'll
call you mama.
Mama. Oh, my gosh. But, yes, you guys. What was our story last week? I forgot what it was.
I don't remember.
It probably wasn't that memorable, if I can't.
It was short, remember, because it was...
It was a short one. Well, shoot. Now I really want to know.
Riggins is watching South Park.
He is, isn't he?
I wonder if you can read the subtitles.
It was Project Bluebeam. Y'all, our dog is sitting dead ass in front of the TV watching South Park. I wonder if you can see the colors. Anyway, we did Project Bluebeam last week, and I really liked that one, but it was really short because there wasn't a lot of information. Next week, I have a super fun one.
Ruh-roh.
It's about alien abduction and...
anal probes?
Well, kind of. It's got human hybrid babies in it.
Oh, cool.
So it'll be a fun one, and...
what's that show we watched that had that in there? Remember?
It was one... it was American Horror Story.
Oh, that's right.
When they were trying to do the...
the make the breed.
The perfect hybrid or whatever. They kept killing the babies that weren't perfect. Watch that, you guys. It's actually really good. But... I am so excited about next week's story. It's very strange. There's a lot of pictures that go with it. So, y'all stay tuned.
That's good. I'm a visual person.
Well, this guy painted all his encounters. So, we've got a lot of pictures. He painted some dirty pictures, too. I mean, not like...
was he wanting to clap some alien ass?
Yeah, he did clap some alien ass, but it's not about the it's not like the hamster drinking water thing. It's not that. So, okay, you guys, thank you for joining us. Stay tuned for next week's story. You do not want to miss this one. Everybody layer up, drink lots of water, and make good choices.
Bye
bye, y'all.
Have a good week, Carmen Brock.